Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. Because our focus was on the game on Sunday and kind of the fallout from the game, we didn't talk about this article that Seth Wickersham and Don Van Natta put out on ESPN about Daniel Snyder. Mm. The biggest takeaway is he is miserable at is watching great. The Commanders succeed.
Yes. He's just a petty, miserable man.
Well, now, also,
he's got $6 billion in the bank, but he's basically living in exile in London and or on his yacht when it's not getting refurbished or, mm-hmm. you know, like taken care of. I think it's docked right now in the Netherlands somewhere or close to the Netherlands. Yeah, it just sounded like he's very petty and upset at the success the Commanders are having, which they couldn't have under him because he was the worst owner probably in the history of sports.
Well, they also highlighted, I don't know, there's a lot of competition, a lot of bad owners. It highlighted how reticent he was to sell the team.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
Up until the very last minute,
very
he
last
was
second.
Threatening not to give his bank information to the Harris Group because he was like, I don't want to do it.
And it sounded like Joe Gibbs kind of saved it at the 11th hour.
And what's interesting is he set that price of almost $6.1 billion,
thinking
right?
Thinking nobody
would get
there.
Thinking nobody's going to be able to come up with $6 billion.
Right. He thought that was his poison pill.
Yeah.
Like it was unattainable.
It was an interesting article.
Thank God for Josh Harris.
It was also fun. I found it funny that he was so upset too, because on the way out they were finding him like $60 million, which would then take the $6.05 billion price tag under the $6 billion threshold. So that was like a big deal to him.
Mm.
So I guess they worked it out so he didn't have to pay, is what I took away from it. But yeah, it's great that he basically is forced to leave the country because he's so unpopular.
Mm.
Nobody wants to buy his properties that he left here. So he had to donate one of his homes to the American Cancer Society.
Right.
Nobody would buy that listing for like $50 million. It was on the market forever. And then they just said, okay, we'll just donate it, use it as a tax write-off.
Yep.
Yeah, it warmed my heart to see that he's miserable. Miserable.
He's got another property.
Due to the success of the Commanders.
He's got another property that's still on the market that no one's going to buy.
Right.
And he's dipped the price, I think, I don't know, $20 million.
Which property?
Someplace in Virginia, right?
Yeah, it's the one that's it's over near where Drab got married.
Oh, okay.
It's over near, like, Mount Vernon.
The world's hottest wedding.
Does he own any? Does he own a soccer team or something? Or does he have
no,
a minority?
No, he was talking about that he was interested in buying one.
But they're not going to let him in. No one's going to let him in.
Who would sell any sort of sports franchise to Daniel Snyder after seeing what he did to the Redskins?
Well, if I needed money and I wanted money, I wouldn't care who I sold it to. I didn't really care. You know what I mean? You give me a billion?
Care?
Yeah, what care? You good luck.
I mean, I guess.
When you sell your house, are you going to judge by the highest offer, or are you going to judge by the best person?
Yeah, the character of the person.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah. It's giving you money.
Yeah.
You're going to laugh all the way to the
bank.
And you're
not going to live in the house anymore.
That's true.
Right.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say money can't buy happiness. I guess that's true of Dan Snyder.
I mean, he's probably miserable. I mean, he probably is miserable, but it probably doesn't ruin his entire day. Right? How could it ruin
your entire
day?
No, but he didn't achieve what he wanted to do. And then watching them succeed is just killing him.
It did make me laugh how he, like, one of his post-Commanders ventures, he poured a bunch of money into a film that, like, lost a lot of money, didn't turn out the way he wanted it to turn out.
it's got to be.
But that was a drop in the bucket. I think it was minor. Son-in-law had a movie project that he was into.
It's another example of everything he touched outside of Snyder Communications. Somehow he bilked people out of money with that. Allegedly.
But later that ended up crashing and burning.
Everything he touched outside of the Redskins turned into a big giant fireball.
Well, the Skins did too, but it just happened to go up in price.
Right.
The film you're talking about called The Apprentice.
Yeah.
Had something to do with Trump, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he poured a bunch of money into it. Then he sat down at a screening of it, and it wasn't the movie he expected it to be. Because he was expecting it to portray Trump in a flattering light. It wasn't. He apparently got enraged that his money went towards it.
Right.
Yeah, it was a crazy story.
If he bought like a Premier League team, some number team, and took him to greatness, would that take some of the stink off of him?
Yes.
No.
Well,
no.
But it might make him he'd feel a little personal redemption.
But that's impossible because he's a terrible person and an even worse sports owner.
Why would anybody?
So anything that he touches is going to turn to a big steaming pile.
You don't think some people can learn from their mistakes?
I think some can. Yeah. I don't think he can.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he can't.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like he's 35 or 40 years old.
It's a little different setup over there. I mean, you spend more money, you're going to have better results.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if he dumps all his $6 billion into
whatever he touches is going to turn toxic.
But reading the article, he doesn't really care about soccer. He cared about football.
Right.
That was the one game that was in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
So they took a piece of his heart when he had to sell the team.
Oh, boo-hoo. Took a piece of Dan Snyder's tiny, dark, cold heart.
Here's a question I have for you. You know what? I'm going to put this up as the poll of the day. Our Surfside poll of the day. Surfside iced tea and vodka and Surfside lemonade and vodka. The perfect addition to any gathering. Each can only 100 calories. Zero carbonation. Easy sipping. We love it. Find Surfside at your local bars or in convenient variety 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. Does it bring you joy that Dan Snyder is miserable? Or you don't care.
Brings me joy.
It brings
Does
you joy.
Does anybody feel...
Because he brought sadness and misery to this fan base for 25 years.
The correct answer should be, is out of sight, out of mind, you don't care. But the true answer for most people is they get a perverse pleasure.
I think that poll is going to be overwhelmingly people are happy to see him miserable.
I think you should be like 90% thinking... Don't care about him, success or failure. Just who cares? But probably deep down, most people are happy that he's unhappy.
I have a bone to pick with Wickersham and Van Natta.
Okay.
All right.
It's the day before the NFC Championship game, and they drop this story, and it completely diverts the attention from a lot of Commanders fans back on the ghoul Dan Snyder. I mean, just... Can't they just sit on it until the summer? This is such a summer reading. Like, why get everyone all riled up before the biggest game in 33 years.
I don't know. I guess
because you want a captive audience. It's the most captive audience.
They were going to get the reads. They knew
it's,
that.
People are finally over that loser, I feel like, and they've moved on. And it's almost like your ex running down the aisle when you're getting ready to go get married.
You think they're reopening the wound?
Yes. Yeah. Right before a lot of fans' like biggest moment in a long time. I just thought it was poor. It was poor taste. It was in poor
taste.
They
don't care. They don't care.
But that's what I mean. The whole point of the story was that he hates the fact that they're so good, and it comes out on the same day that they're playing in the NFC Championship.
Yeah.
So it kind of correlated. This was interesting, this part of the story. A source with direct knowledge said that after months of negotiations with Josh Harris, Snyder was imagining ways to keep his team. One idea, the source said, was to announce that he had years earlier given up alcohol, and to say that much of his alleged misbehavior over the years that caused so much league and fellow owner angst happened while he was drunk. Snyder was purposeful.
Yeah. I heard, but Johnny then, Walker Blue, that was his drink.
But then later in the story, he apparently goes to pubs all the time in London.
Well, who doesn't want a pint at your corner pub?
I mean, Jason? Who knows? Maybe he just goes and sits at the bar and doesn't drink.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah,
no, my a lot guess of people is,
I don't
pubs,
believe
they
that.
Don't drink.
But I just thought it was funny that he talked about giving up alcohol and he was such an idiot.
Well, that was probably his. He was trying to use that as a defense.
I mean, he's probably lying about
he's
that.
He's probably lying. Yeah. He's probably just using that. Hey, man, I had a problem with alcohol, you know.
But apparently, he just lives in some condo now in London.
A condo?
Yeah.
It's called a flat.
I mean, it's probably a freaking sick penthouse.
Oh, I'm sure it is, but
it's not the one I lived in Laurel.
It's not a 30,000 square foot home.
It's not a Roach Motel.
It's actually nice. You think Dan Snyder shares a bathroom, has a community bathroom, community laundry?
Imagine.
I think most people probably drive some sort of joy from it. You can vote at Junks Radio. You can call us on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. But you're right, EB. You shouldn't care.
The answer is you're not supposed to care. You're supposed to be forward thinking, and who cares? And honestly, I think I could say this. I don't care if he has success in anything else. It means nothing to me now. He's dead to me.
Yep.
So whatever he does, I think it's true. At least I want it to be true. I don't care what he does. Do I want him to be miserable? I mean, he's gone. That's all I really wanted was him to be gone. I'm not
that's
that
the most
vindictive.
Important thing.
That's also my point. I think a lot of people, Dan Snyder was out of sight, out of mind until Saturday, until they dropped the article.
I guess they're just putting context. I mean,
but I'm guessing some fans, probably a good amount, get some glee out of seeing him being miserable.
Oh, they love it.
No, I'm guessing most do deep
down.
They love
it, yeah.
Because he gouged them for years with an inferior product. He ruined a great franchise. He ruined it. And I think some fans like the fact that it tortures them that the Commanders are actually good now.
Well, yeah, they hadn't had a playoff win in 20 years. They had two in this run.
Right.
So I think the authors who did a bunch of articles about the scandal and the dysfunction and the toxic workplace and all that stuff for years, they're just adding a punctuation mark. Like, hey, team's winning playoff games. Let's go check in on what Dan Snyder thinks about
yeah.
it. And they found out he's miserable.
Lonely,
he
miserable
hates
Dan
it.
Snyder.
Hey, let me throw a hypothetical out there.
Yeah.
All right.
This would never happen, but the WWE script.
Okay.
Dan Snyder buys the Nationals.
Buys the Nats. Okay.
Okay, the Nats are losers. They don't spend a dollar.
Right.
Would you rather have the Nats be cheap and not spend anything, or Dan Snyder buys them and we're the new Dodgers?
They're bringing in Shohei.
Shohei. he won't stop at a dollar. No money is no problem.
He scoffs at the luxury tax.
But you would be skeptical because you still have the scar tissue of the past.
Of course.
And would think that even if he's spending money, it's going to be a spectacular disaster.
I was going to say, yeah. He would spend money on it, but it would be the wrong money spent.
Well, right. Also, remember, that was early Dan. The knock against him late Dan was he didn't spend money.
Baseball's a different thing. I mean, you spend money in baseball, you have a much better chance to win. No salary cap, just go ham.
Yeah,
Snyder comes back.
Yeah. I just don't think he would love deferred money. I think he was having so many financial problems. Well, maybe now he doesn't have financial
problems. But even if he had unlimited money, he would spend on the wrong players.
Right.
Like he's incompetent. He doesn't know what he's doing. And he's too stubborn to surround himself with people that actually know what they're doing. He wants to win his way. So if he came back and spent $350 million on payroll for the Nationals, they would turn into a big giant dumpster fire somehow.
You would bet on his track record of failing.
Yes, that I would bet on.
Probably, but I mean, we don't know if Cohen's is going to work out. All the billions he's spending on Soto and everybody else he's trying to do with the Mets. Everyone's excited. Not.
Would he draft every Madison Warhawk like Dwayne Haskins?
Yeah. He might. He might want to do that.
I'm just saying, he's a horrible person. We all agree on that. It might be better than the learner spending $20 this offseason.
That'd be interesting. Right. Yeah.
You know what?
That is an undersold topic that we do need to get into.
Drabby, if he buys a Premier League soccer team, I want you to become a fan of that team and see how good they are under his stewardship.
You don't love the Josh Bell signing, EB?
Well, I mean, it is undersold. Like, I thought
you don't love Nate Lowe?
I thought Riz, it's like we were ready to now make a move. Yeah. What happened to all that?
He was talking smack. Either that or he thought.
Did they handcuff him?
Who knows?
I mean, they probably did, but I mean, did they handcuff him more like he was surprised? I know he's been handcuffed in years past. Was he under the impression that he could maybe go
get Pete Alonso?
Really start to make some moves this year, and they said no, pause that? Well, there's a story there.
Well, you know that Riz doesn't want to finish last in the division.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and if they have a roster that looks like that again, of course, probably pisses them off, but I have no idea. It's a good question.
God, the young guy's got to blossom fast.
I mean, some of these programs, what the Wiz are doing, I'm even more pissed about it. Just as Jason pointed out, you know, we have got an 86% chance of not getting the whole reason why we're doing it.
Well, I mean, it's better than having the seventh pick, right? They should have a top four pick.
I don't know if it's better.
No, they're guaranteed a top four pick with their record.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, got a hit on it. You're not going to get the guy.
Yeah, the difference between one and four could be a huge chasm, you know?
Yeah, I mean, typically these days, I think it kind of is. One or two studs and everybody else is a project.
Bro, I mean, the fact that Alex Saar is leading in Rookie of the Year voting, and he's having an okay rookie season.
99% of the country has no idea.
He's not blowing people away.
99% of the country has no idea.
That's how bad the rookie class is.
He's averaging 11 points.
Yeah, I mean, if he's averaging 20 a game, I guess.
He's not Wemby. I know that.
Yeah. Well, nobody expected him to be Wemby.
Saying the rookie class for this year's NBA.
No, nobody expected him to be Wemby, but just saying it's a big drop off.
Yeah.
Wemby's a unicorn. Maybe Cooper Flagg's a unicorn. I don't know. Watch him. He's pretty impressive. He looks like a man amongst boys and he played in college.
But back to Snyder, are you like Valdez and resent the fact that ESPN put this article out? Or are you smiling because that guy's miserable? Cakes is definitely smiling.
It brought me joy when I saw that story.
I definitely thought it was an interesting story. I know I did not resent it like Valdez.
Coming up next.
Nobody else did.
Coming up next, we'll talk to Lindsay Rhodes. She's an NFL host for Sumer Sports here on the Junkies. Coming up at 8 o'clock, it's a game show Wednesday. We're going to play Zippy Dollar Pyramid, your chance to win tickets to the Harlem Globetrotters. And we also have Wizards tickets to give away. For Friday, February 7th.
That's the night we're doing the Altcast.
We're doing the Altcast.
Yeah, on Monumental Sports Network.
I knew I was doing something February 7th. I kept thinking, we were planning on going up to New York. And I said, I know I can't go that day because I got something.
It's the day after your birthday.
Yeah, you know, I reminded you should pay me $1. I gave you real-time reminder.
I asked you.
Yes, I saw Blue Shorts on Sunday.
Blue Shorts came out to our appearance.
And Blue Short came out with his fiance. I don't think they're officially married yet.
Yeah, they're never going to consummate that. Yeah.
She's due to have their baby.
Well, that's kind of consummating.
But if it doesn't happen before, I guess, February 5th, EB, she's going to be induced on February 6th. So I told Blue Shorts, I was like, if it's a boy, you got to name him Eric or Bickle.
What did he say to that?
He kind of laughed it off. His girlfriend laughed it off, her fiance, whatever she is. I said, if it's a girl, I guess Erica, right? Or it's slided to Bickle.
I've always said Erica. I want someone to name their kid Erica.
Sure. Solid.
All right, let's go out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and talk to NFL host for Sumer Sports, Lindsay Rhodes. She's covering the Senior Bowl as well. Hey, Lindsay.
Hi, how are you guys? What conversation did I just drop into?
Doesn't matter.
Just somebody that worked for us and is his fiance is due to have a baby and was saying that it's the date of induction is the same date as one of the host's birthdays, that maybe he should name the kid the name of the host, Eric.
Pretty simple.
That's definitely what that means.
Yeah. Why not? Sure. Why not?
Hey, Lindsay, I was at the Senior Bowl in 2019 because a good family friend was playing in it. And
who did you scout when you were down there, Jason?
Well, I was just watching one kid. I was down there because Trace McSorley's family and I are very tight. And what was amazing to me about just kind of walking around the stadium is how serious these fans take the Senior Bowl. I mean, there was tailgating everywhere from all the different schools of all the players that were participating. I assume, Lindsay, that you've seen that before, but it was kind of crazy that I thought it was just going to be, you know, just kind of a typical all-star game, not many fans there. These people were out there 3-4 hours before the game in their tents and their SUVs and their campers, and they were just partying it up.
Yeah. What's funny is you said that you went to the Senior Bowl, and I pictured you at a practice rather than at the game until you said the tailgating and the fans. I was like, there were fans there? And then, like, my mind didn't even go to the actual game, because the funniest thing about this week for me, for, you know, people who don't follow the NFL super, super nerd closely, this week is so weird in the sense that the game happens, but the game even is like so low on the totem pole of importance.
It's all about the practices, right?
Yeah, it's the practices. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So everybody who's here during the week from a scouting standpoint, and honestly, even a lot of the media will leave before the game, all of the NFL personnel, they're all going to bail out before Saturday.
Yeah.
They're probably going to bail out like Thursday night, you know, because Friday's a light day for practices. The thing about this week is all about the practices, getting a look at the players, getting to interact with them, watch them getting coached up close. And then the other funny thing about this week, I think from a practice standpoint, is that if you're watching the practice, where the people go is kind of funny too, because all anyone wants to see are like the trench one-on-ones. So normally, you're watching football, all of our eyes go to the skill players, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that from a scouting standpoint, that the sexiest thing that would be happening down here is to keep an eye on the wide receivers and the quarterbacks. Yesterday, there was a 7-on-7 drill, and there's like sparse people on the sideline, and then there's a massive ring around the trench one-on-ones that are happening in the end zone. My guess is because when you have practices, there isn't that much you can actually glean from it, you know, like, and you know, like a running back, for instance, you probably need them to be in a game because you don't want to blow the whistle dead on a play. What you want to see is whether they can force missed tackles, stuff like that. You can't do that in a practice environment. But if you've got a really good offensive tackle versus a really good edge player and they go up against each other one-on-one, you can see who can shed the block, that kind of stuff. And so I guess you can really get a lot of it, information out of that. But it's a very counterintuitive week for a casual NFL fan.
So, Lindsay, I'm on your Twitter, @Lindsay_Rhodes, and I guess a guy that's really popping down there is Deion Walker, who's just a massive defensive lineman from Kentucky. And we're here in Washington, and you know the offense was great with Jaden Daniels. Obviously, he was a star with the number 2 pick, but they need some help on defense. And that's a guy that if Adam Peters sees him, he's probably like, whoa, maybe that's a guy that's available late in the first round. What's it like watching him? What sort of eyeballs are on him? Anybody else is really popping down there so far?
Yeah, I will say this before I answer your question. I am not a scout, right? So when I watch a Senior Bowl practice, I feel like I have a little bit of ADD because I'm newer to I'm not newer to the college game, but I don't follow college really closely throughout the year. I dive into it at this time of year to try and get caught up for the draft, but I'm so, you know, knee deep in the NFL stuff that that's not my expertise. So I come down here and I really want to get a good feel for everybody. And it is so hard to do, you guys, if you don't have a focused plan. Like, I'd be like, oh, that wide receiver made a good play. That's exciting. Ooh, why are people cheering over there? And then by the end of the practice, I'm like, did I see anything? So I really rely on talking to a lot of the people who are more seasoned scouts for their impressions. There's certainly moments that you can see, even an untrained eye. You can tell were really good plays by various different people at various different positions. Deion Walker had a few yesterday that were massive wow plays. He's an interior defensive lineman, defensive tackle. There were also a few plays where, you know, he got pushed back several yards. And so my co-host, who's a football guy, was talking about his pad leverage, stuff like that. There were some concerning things that I think might make the wow plays render them less impactful to his draft stock, I think. There was another defensive tackle, Aeneas Peebles from Virginia Tech, mm-hmm. who more consistently, I think, showed out yesterday. Josiah Stewart, who's an edge player from Michigan, was a guy that a lot of people were talking about, and who also, you mentioned I work for Sumer Sports. You've got a lot of advanced data metrics that we try to help guide us that can be helpful sometimes if people maybe don't pass the eye test, and Josiah Stewart is not that guy for sure, but they can point you in the direction of a player that maybe you should go take a look at. But Josiah Stewart just pops off the charts in terms of the advanced metrics and the tracking data and how good he must be. Ariante Ursary is an offensive lineman who had a very, very good day also. Speaking of the tracking data, there's a wide receiver down here that I really want to watch today very purposefully, and his name is Tez Johnson from Oregon. Mm-hmm. So he's a guy who is very slender built. And remember when, like, Tank Dell was new to the NFL and people were like, oh, he's too light and that won't work out. And I think that he is the type of guy that you could write off, Tez, from a traits standpoint. That around this time, NFL people love their traits. But yards per route run and first downs per route run, these are the kinds of production-related stats in college that actually are pretty sticky. Puka Nacua, if you look at why they might have missed on Puka Nacua, or whether there was signal that we should have seen, you go back and you look at those types of stats, and he is off the charts. Mm. And so looking at the wide receivers that been invited to the Senior Bowl for the last 3 years on a chart, there's Puka way off in his own land, and then there's Tez Johnson, and then there's everyone else. So he's a guy that I'll be very interested to keep an eye on today and see if, you know, he can still get by those DBs or if they figure out a way to kind of rough him up a little bit off the line today.
I wonder, are all those scouts and all the NFL personnel guys that are there, are they truly locked in? Anytime I see, like, these kinds of scenarios, everyone's just, like, smoking and joking on the sideline. You know, they're just, you know, hanging out. It's almost like a party scene.
Definitely. Yeah, it's like a convention, right? Yeah. It does feel a little bit like NFL reunion time, where you get a chance to see everybody that you haven't seen all year long from the various clubs, media. I'm sure from a scouting, coaching standpoint, the same is true. I did talk to a few people yesterday that were saying, so if they send out the tape of the practice, so they'll have that on tape. They don't even need to be here, and they'll have access to that kind of stuff. So what I was told, some of them, most of them, whatever, one of the approaches that they have is that they really try to pick up on the intangibles when they're down on the sideline, the scouts. They'll watch practice reps or groups, position groups, and they'll pay attention specifically to whether a player got a coaching note, for instance, and then how quickly they were able to implement that coaching note, how they treat their teammates, how they interacted with the group, whether or not they were coachable.
Right.
And so I think that probably looks a little bit more schmoozy and like they don't care. And to a degree, that's probably easier to do in person in a very casual way. I don't think that they're sitting there looking at these guys going, oh, the get off was this, and taking notes and scribbling, you know, frantically, because they don't necessarily need to. I think they probably have a lot of that information already gleaned, and a lot of it's the intangible stuff.
Right. This week.
So there's so many teams, Lindsay, are just desperate for quarterbacks in the NFL. And last year, obviously, the first round picks, so looks like a lot of them are going to work out, if not all of them. And here in Washington, we got lucky. But
Right.
Talk about the quarterbacks that are there, the scouts you're talking to. Who are they high on? They got Dylan Gabriel down there. You've got Jalen Milroe. I've seen a lot of mock drafts with Milroe going first round just because athletically he's so fast. And he's gotten better as a passer, but he still shows some inconsistency. Jackson Dart's down there. So there's going to be teams in the draft that just reach because they're so desperate for it. Can you talk about some of the QBs?
I think even at the top of the draft, I think teams are going to reach because they're so desperate for quarterbacks. And you could even argue that if you just keep taking hits, this past year was wild. And I'll be very interested to see how it impacts teams' thought processes. And I'm even wondering about my own thought process. I've always been a get your entire team ready, plug in all of the holes. Once you have a majority of those holes plugged in, then go get your quarterback so that you can maximize what the quarterback can bring you on that rookie deal in terms of success. I look at the way that the quarterbacks had success last year, though, and I mean, all of them. Like, you could argue all of the guys that were taken, you know, relatively early could have a chance to be franchise guys. I mean, even Penix plugged in at the end of the year last year. I think they saw enough to go, we might be able to work with this. So I do think that it'll be very interesting this year in a down year for quarterback. This is not last year at quarterback by any stretch. And I've heard people say, Jim Nagy, in fact, who runs the Senior Bowl and is in charge of scouting all of these guys, has a full staff, was saying that he thinks that the best quarterback this year probably would be like QB6, I think, in last year's draft. So you're looking at a drop-off there. But teams will definitely reach. Yesterday at practice, the American team here, they split them up obviously into the two teams. And one of the teams on paper, you look at it and you go, well, this is kind of stacked comparatively, right? At quarterback, they've got Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, and Riley Leonard all on the same team. And the other team has Dylan Gabriel.
Right.
And then the kid from Louisville and
Tyler Shaw. Tyler Shaw, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they brought in a last minute ad, a kid from Canada who was kind of, will be an interesting guy to see if he rises a little bit this week because it was a little bit raw, I guess. But like there were a few things that popped and sometimes people get enamored with that, right? Yesterday was not a good day at practice.
Oh.
And
what, for the quarterbacks in general?
For the quarterbacks, exactly. There were a lot of, particularly on that Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, Riley Leonard group, there were a lot of incompletions. It made it really hard, I think, to even just scout the whole session because there were a lot of balls on the ground. And so I'll be interested to see if, I mean, you know, you're getting thrown onto a team with people you've never played with before, wide receivers, quarterbacks, it's all about timing and chemistry. And so I'll be interested to see how much better it looks today, whether or not they can make that adjustment. But, yeah, it wasn't necessarily a particularly great day for, I think, any of the quarterbacks here. I don't know that any of them really, really helped their value. But like you said, you know, it's a long draft process. We're going to talk about them for a couple of months, and my guess is that it won't hurt their status all that dramatically unless it continues to look the way it did yesterday because people are so, so desperate.
Lindsay, it's been a pleasure talking to you. It's Lindsay Rhodes from Sumer Sports. Thanks.
Have fun down there.
Thank you so much. I will. Thanks for having me, guys.
Sure.
Thank you.
Lindsay Rhodes from Sumer Sports, who's at the Senior Bowl. Let me tell you about Main Street Bank. Bank local, cheer local. And business every day is game day. Business is always moving up or down, but never still. That's why the Main Street Bank team treats every day like game day. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank, proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender. Coming up at 8 o'clock, give you a chance to win some great prizes. We have tickets to the Wizards, tickets to the Harlem Globetrotters. We will play Zippy Dollar Pyramid. So I saw this story about men and women. People often think that, you know, what was that book? Men are from Mars, women are from Venus.
I might be flip-flopping
it. I can't remember if men are from Venus or men are from Mars. But look,
don't remember.
The article was about men and women preferring younger partners.
Mm-hmm.
most people believe men like younger women. My dad married my mom. He was 39. My mom was 23.
Okay. Now, it's a sizable gap
they
there.
They were married for, I don't know, I'd have to do the math because he passed away 17, 18 years ago. They were married for about 40 years, roughly.
Right.
Roughly 40 years. So it worked. And that is more common, right? Mm-hmm. The older man, younger woman.
I think that's probably more common.
But they did a study and found that women are just as sized for young men.
I mean, I think there is a certain, there's no doubt about it. There's certainly the whole, like, like divorcee that maybe wants to date a younger guy.
Valdez also loves the teacher wanting to be with the student, which
that's definitely
oftentimes illegal because people are underage.
So there's a movie right now with Nicole Kidman called Baby Girl.
All right.
Maybe it was nominated for Academy Award. I can't remember.
Don't know.
Nicole Kidman's got to be close to 60. Mm-hmm. And in the movie, she plays a female CEO.
Yeah.
And she hooks up with her intern.
Mm-hmm. The actor is.
A male intern.
I think the
actor
is in his 20s.
Played by Mike Marr.
Right.
Mike Marr would be the perfect guy for that role.
I think, maybe I'm wrong. I feel like women like younger guys because they're sick of dad bods and gross guys. So, like, a younger guy still got it together.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, why do men like younger women? It'd probably be a similar thing.
Of course. But I think at the end of the day, that might be more of like, I don't think long term a woman would be interested in a younger guy. I think that'd be more of a fling.
I actually don't think that's the reason why. I don't think it has a lot to do with looks. I think it has to do with like an energy thing and that the younger guys are more willing to like prove themselves and be like get after a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Guys Maybe. Are the old guys are want the young tight bodies.
Right.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, a woman might like that for a one off, but I don't think for long term.
I don't know.
Although Demi Moore got married to Ashton Kutcher, right? They were married for a while.
Well, she's a weirdo.
Yeah.
Heidi Klum apparently is with somebody that's.
Yeah,
there's 15 definitely years
a,
younger.
There's definitely a thing. It's a small, but I still think there also is a thing where women like older guys. They have like I don't know if you want to say if it's because they have daddy issues or something, but they have there's a, course, like they kind of like idolize older wisdom, wise gray haired guys,
sure, cakes. Sage yeah. older
yeah.
gentlemen.
Yeah, they don't mind a little dad bod.
They're cool with the silver foxes,
right?
And financial security.
They usually don't like.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, broke older guys.
Right. That's yeah. Most older guys, I mean, you're not really that, right? Most older guys have figured out at least a way to make it somewhat palatable. You don't have to be rich, but you've kind of figured out your way. Most older guys, right?
Well, I've worked a long time. I mean,
yeah, there's, I mean, most older
there's
guys.
Not a lot of 25-year-old blonde sillies dating guys living paycheck to paycheck who are
probably
55
not.
Years
yeah,
old.
It's yeah. Probably, yeah, it's probably. Yeah, 20, yeah.
I agree.
23-year-olds aren't dating a 55-year-old plumber.
I agree.
What's Plumber's the oldest?
I agree.
Mike, I'm just saying.
But a plumber vibe does okay, though.
Mike Marr, you're 25 years
yeah,
old?
Yeah, 25.
What's the oldest woman that you would consider hooking up with and maybe even dating?
Well, that's different. That's different yeah, I mean, than that, like having a relationship.
Okay, well, all right, give smash.
35.
That's it. You cut off. So if you have a hot 36-year-old, you're cutting her off. Are you giving me a? Are you being serious right now?
Maybe 40. I'll probably max out around 40. I mean, if we're talking like Jennifer Aniston or someone like you know in her 50s, it's an absolute fox.
Jennifer Aniston.
But I'm just talking.
Wall,
I'm just wandering around Arlington.
Okay, but a 40-year-old. What? Okay, so now what about dating? Like, yeah. If you just went on an app and it didn't have
I've
age,
had this, yeah, I've
and you
had
went
this
and you
discussion.
Sat down at dinner with a woman and she's across from you, and then you find out she's 10 years older, would you cut her off or would you continue?
I think the oldest I date is right around 30,
so he's willing to go 5 years senior of him.
I just don't believe you. I don't believe you.
You see him at dinner. Hey, what do you think about this
you
Zin
had a
shortage?
35-year-old chick, you're gonna cut her off? Because, you know, and you like her and everything because she's 35? I just don't believe you.
I don't know, man. I mean, that's a decent age gap.
I'm smelling, a dating game with
him. I actually
I
think that that
I
would be,
don't believe him.
I think Eric, that would be tough like if you're talking about having kids. Like, he's 25 years old, right? So the 35-year-old, let's say she's single. She's probably wanting to get married, have kids. He's probably on a different timeline.
Yeah, I'm talking about extending my lease here in Arlington, not buying a house and settling down with kids. Yeah.
I'm not asking you to settle down. I'm saying date. I just think you would date. I think you would date an older woman.
Who knows?
I just don't think you realize.
Opposed to it.
How old are you? 27?
25.
Hey, an older woman would rock his world.
Rock your world, dude.
He would know how to handle himself.
All right? All the 35-year-old women call into the show right now. We'll see.
I think we should do that. We should do would you be up for a dating game?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Would definitely do it.
How about a divorcee? Would you date? Let's just do it like divorce mom.
Maybe I'd go out to like dinner or something, but like I said, I'm not just interested in dating.
Look, we're not asking you to get married to this person. No. Just go out on a date with them. See what happens.
See if
the sparks fly.
See if you get stimulated.
You think he won't get stimulated by a hot 35-year-old? Of course he would.
Yeah, let's set up a game or something.
Are you a Tinder guy, a Bumble guy? I don't even know the apps that they use now.
What's the hot app
Plenty
right now?
Plenty of Fish, that used to be popular in the day.
I think it's Hinge, but I haven't used those since college, really.
I mean, do people use dating apps in college? Isn't college kind of your dating app generally?
Yeah, but you don't go out. I remember talking
Imagine
to Brett.
How many you could,
Brett said that fathom. Girls don't go out. And guys don't necessarily go out to hook up.
Yeah.
He said that girls specifically, like he was talking about his new place and the design of the new place and Sup Dogs. He says they go out to take pictures. Yeah, the distillery.
Yeah.
That they go out really to, they want a cool spot. Yeah. The pictures look good. And then they go back home and then that's how they'll hook up, you know, they'll just message somebody or.
Right.
You mean they don't pay $10 for all you can drink and drink yourself into a stupor like I did back in college?
The world's different.
It's a different dynamic.
But the point of the article, is it that, are you trying to say that more women are into younger guys than they into older guys?
No, it's just a new trend. Maybe not even a new trend, but it's a much smaller number that a woman would be interested in a younger guy than
an older guy.
Probably an older guy.
Well, yeah. The science, at least in this, the article said, you know, they studied, I don't know, 2,500 people. And the science said that it basically was equal.
Like if you
They
were,
maybe for, keep for it the on most, the down low.
Yeah.
But that, you know, let's say you're that divorcee who's 40 years old. They would just as soon hook up with a 30-year-old versus a 50-year-old.
Don't take this the wrong way, Mar, okay? Because you're my boy. Why would a 35-year-old woman have any interest in Mar?
He's energetic. He has a lust for life. He's
other than he wants to go out and like just like get hammered. I mean, like, isn't that his big attraction?
He's fun. Like a
he
lot
wants
of guys
to go out and just
when you get older.
Beers.
When you get older, a lot of guys they're set in their ways. They have routine. They're not as spontaneous as they once were.
Mm-hmm.
I can definitely see an older woman being interested in that kind of lifestyle with a younger guy.
Okay.
They never really last.
I can't imagine they last.
They like it for a little
Mar's
while.
Mar's got nothing. He's got nothing. He's got no experience.
At the end of the day, they like financial security and maturity.
Right. And what'd you say?
Maturity and financial security.
Well, yeah. I know he doesn't have the second part.
He doesn't have that at this point.
He will at some point. Right now he doesn't.
All right, let's go to Marcus, West Virginia. I don't know. For some reason he pissed it. Matt, I don't know
what I do now.
Marcus,
what's up, boys?
Hey, Marcus.
Hey,
Valdez always shooting shrapnel towards the listeners, guys. Right. Why you got to poop on the plumbers, man? We get the ladies.
Poop on the plumbers. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying it's not a very glamour. It's not a sexy job.
Those guys make good money.
I know. I work in. I grew up
glamorous, but neither is producer. But they're both.
Oh,
are you taking shots at producers
you
now?
Yeah, you there? Yeah. Hello,
Marcus.
Marcus, you there?
Yeah. Sorry, I ain't got great signal.
Well, maybe if you weren't a plumber, you'd have a better service. Yeah, get off your cricket.
Okay.
Cricket. That makes me laugh for some reason.
You know what?
Hey, Valdez hung up on him.
Yeah. What? I know, because I got the last word, and we got a break.
Oh.
What about your wife?
You know what? Very calculated.
I don't even know. Are we doing, like, can I mention, I don't know. Do we have, like, a million phone deals? Or my wife just totally changed service, and she says it's way better now.
You don't need to mention any service providers.
All right. But she got way better service than what she used to have.
I'll tell you, I'm a big fan of Verizon Wireless, CB. Okay. Done a couple appearances with former Redskins like Brian Mitchell and Santana Moss.
Sure.
So I recommend Verizon
Wireless. I probably should keep it quiet.
Yeah. Coming up next, it's Game Show Wednesday. We're going to play Zippy Dollar Pyramid, 800-636-1067. Your chance to win Wizards tickets, Harlem Globetrotter tickets. That's next here on The Junkies.